the issue is what we do in
June 10th, Bitterwig.
He's just thinking.
We're arguing about delay versus.
He's afraid that people are saying, well, we should be cutting back now.
So, Demi, how was Ireland? I heard you in there.
I did.
Oh, Sam,
yeah, he's afraid. He said, hey, don't let it spill. And I said, well, Stephen Lee's going, hey, well, the past 3 days we only had like three or four fish going.
How was it fun?
Well, yeah, but that's the time of year. We're talking about, I mean, I think the biggest concern is with the saw.
Oh, yeah, no, this one is that close. Right.
To me, that's.
Yeah, no, that's what. Okay. People were talking about, well, Moody was bringing up, well, the past 3 days, yeah, like 34, we're going.
Yeah, there's no fit. There's
well, the also, so the fish, you've got 100, you're still like 120. There's chocolate up there. There's nothing we can do. It's like.
Watch it when the flows come down and see what happens.
Yeah, and that's what I suggested next week when flows are hopefully back to a point where we actually have some control over, we'll take a look at it, and then if we need to take the TSW out for a day or two, let's do it. And I think Bill is fine with that. I think they're just talking past each other, which is not uncommon in this region.
Okay. But whatever you do, don't call it a blockage.
Yes, that was that issue.
I was trying to get it. I wasn't getting it.
Delay, blockage.
Highly different variables. Different verbiage. Yeah.
Rudy.
I'm clearly not understanding why we're arguing about seeing a fish like of 9,000 fish coming along.
That's cool. Like,
why are we angry at each other right now? It seems to be a...
Yeah, that was a half here. This is not the week to fight about it.
Oh, it's freaking lame. These are my spots.
Can't do much about it.
No, this is where your stuff was. So set it down. No, this dude.
Where is your microwave? Is it upstairs? I would have ran up there. I brought mine too. Is it upstairs?
Yeah, it's upstairs.
Yeah. Huh.
Go in the main entrance and then take the left and the first door on the right.
I'd cold
Colorado
chicken
signed
going,
up.
But it was good.
Took another pack 11 on its way to the pack 13.
Oh, they did not.
Yeah.
That means they're going to get away from everyone playing everyone.
It's going all the way to the Pac 16, it looks like.
Pac 16?
Yep.
Texas and Oklahoma?
All the Texas schools, yeah. Oklahoma.
Yeah. It's a big conference.
So it'll be the Pac 8 West and the Pac 8 East or whatever it is.
This is going to be it? Should we get started?
Yeah, this is goddamn.
That's what happens when we're not on the floor
yet. Yeah.
Who else did we have this morning?
So first, we should start with the announcements of a couple of birthdays this month.
She just won't leave that alone.
I just love celebrating birthdays.
Yeah, birthday boys are sitting next to each other, too.
Well, I guess it's well enough and you've got some beautiful cupcakes. Let's just leave it at that.
Thankfully, you didn't put candles on them.
set up the fire alarms.
Yeah.
I really don't want that on the web anymore. There are more chocolate cupcakes over by the tea and the rest of the scones.
Dessert? Oh, beautiful.
Well, thank you, Tammy. Thank you guys.
I'll have another one then.
So, yeah, they're chocolate and chocolate or carrot cake and cream cheese.
Oh.
Cream cheese.
What? Oh.
Awful. Don't eat those.
Double.
Yeah.
This is a good day for a small attendance.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Gotta quick finish my lunch so I can get me one of them.
Thank you, Tim.
Yeah.
Thank you, Tim.
No, thank you for having a birthday.
Do you have an excuse to
like I had anything to say
about it? Yeah, let's not talk about that.
If you could legally change your birthday.
5 more years and then I'll do a really big celebration for you.
Jesus.
Yeah. Hopefully I'm not here.
That would be awful.
What, 5 years?
5 years. I'm going to retire when I'm 58. That's only 3 years.
You didn't retire at 58.
Mm-hmm.
You'd miss us too much.
Yeah, you'd miss us.
How many more years?
That would be the only reason I'd stay.
How many more years?
Okay. Oh, three maybe.
Really?
I don't know. I could stay.
You look young.
I can go whenever I want.
Well, you got a lot, man.
I have nothing. Well, I mean, what do I need?
A walker.
Travel money, there you go.
Travel money is all I need. I got my house paid for.
So.
Yeah.
Unless you know how.
You can sign up on a consultant.
I changed the connection and the
yesterday.
So okay.
What was that? Texas billionaire. He died right. Died right at the time when the estate tax elapsed.
Okay, thank you.
So his heirs basically all the tax free.
This is all tax free. Hey. I just got part of a farm.
Actually, that's
part of a farm.
Yeah, estate taxes lapsed this year.
Here, look what I found in my car.
Hey, get some person.
Huh?
I could use one of those right now.
Did you? There you go.
Okay, let me walk. Let's go ahead and do we have anybody on the phone? We're gonna go ahead and get started here. Bitterwig, Portland District.
What's going on?
Anybody on the phone? You left it on, right?
It's on. Yeah, we didn't touch it.
Looks like
it's
on.
We tried to turn it off, but no.
Yeah, we managed to stop
sabotage and almost broke the finger, but we got to stop.
Okay, I'm going to go through the action items from last meeting. This is back from January. Dennis, we're going to have a special fitter wig. I saw some email on that. Did we get that scheduled?
Yep.
B2, FGE?
Yep. 17th to 1 p.m. in this room.
What time? 1 p.m.
1 o'clock?
Yeah. And what is that?
B2, FGE, and
BGS.
B2 configuration, really.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute.
Is that
I had that as a conference call. It's going to be a meeting?
Yeah.
It'll probably be
SCT's in the morning
here.
And then we were going to have it after SCT.
Oh, no. That's what you can fit.
No, I
think
it's
okay. Good. Going down the list. Spillways. Pit detectors. Do we have anybody doing an analysis to look at what spillway pit at Bonneville buys us? You're going to get with do something. Yeah. Still hanging out there.
Oh, yeah.
The cost part, I think we'll just use Ice Harbor cost. I mean, for now, isn't that close enough for cost of what it would cost per day to put an antenna in?
I think it's going to be a lot more.
It's such a different design.
I would almost say it'd be less because we're putting in so much redundancy at Ice Harbor.
Yeah.
That you could
So well, I think the thing is, I think at Bonneville we do a lot more bays.
Right. Multiply by.
Yeah.
I mean, per bay cost.
Per bay cost, right.
Well, I know. I'm just thinking that per bay at ICE, I think it's going to be fairly high, whereas Bonneville.
Oh, might be some savings.
Yeah, I think it's going to be cheaper to do a bay at Bonneville, but you're going to be doing a lot more than you do ICE, so it might work out to be the same number. I don't know.
Well, see what we need in the way of number of
bays. It's a different
concept. How far we want to go with that.
Right. Yeah.
That's the other side of the equation.
Yeah, well, and that would depend on the question.
They're going to embed them at Bonneville
was the idea. Yeah,
it's like the ICE Harbor design.
ICE.
Yeah, you just may not do as many. Because ICE, we're basically, they're saturating the whole MRSW.
Well, this is just an order of magnitude kind of cost I think we're looking for initially, because I don't want to kick off a PVP and do all the whole engineering process and spend much money on this one yet.
So
We'll look at the cost from Ice Harbor. I think we still need to look at, how Ice Harbor works. We're still waiting to see that. But meanwhile, we're going to put some stuff together so that if Ice Harbor looks like it's good, we can make a decision on going forward.
We've already got done a lot of this. Seems like process of getting.
How much was the ICE RSW installation?
It wasn't. I want to say $1.5-2 million or something like that. It wasn't a lot.
It's hard to tell because they embedded the construction cost in the deflector.
Yeah.
So you lost some of that cost there.
Yeah.
You didn't put those two pieces together.
Yeah, it wasn't
working
out. So
go ahead.
I was going to say, the question is on the analysis that you're thinking of NOAA doing, would you have them take a look at like a certain number of bays or something like that?
I think look at for increase like a chart, so increase in detection at the spillway, detection percentage of fish going across the spillway, and then what that does to your system survival precision.
Well, that's pretty easy.
And then you have how many?
It's a simple analysis.
Do you really need that?
Yeah.
What's the goal ultimately?
Just to justify the expense of putting in pit at Bonneville. What's that? To understand what it buys you.
Yeah, okay.
Sure, you can do it in your time.
Level of precision.
Time.
I don't know.
Some years we don't get steelhead because we pass so many surface routes. Of course, we get those now too, but not all of them.
What's the goal of putting it in there? Why would you put it in there?
Right.
You get better
subyearling Chinook survival estimates. Are, you know, pit digest estimates are pretty, pretty broad.
There's other reasons. I don't know that I really want to. I mean, we've said them all before. There's
you have
route specific survival information for adult returns. You can look at spillway survival versus corner cut survival versus bypass survival and all your missing disturbing. So it gives you that kind of information.
You don't have to go through all that. I was just asking about the precision.
Precision is how many, you know, you do or don't get survival to Bonneville some year for some groups, and this would resolve that problem. Plus, they give you better estimates.
I was
getting a bad time that all the numbers you have through the Bonneville are worthless anyway because the precision is too low. So, if that's the case, Tom ought to do the analysis.
Well, I'll just take that and shift it over to Jerry. So,
we need another Trump.
I was going to stop.
Don't bring Skipper up. That's what years we retired.
Next one is the Bonneville fish unit trash rake. Dennis, are you going to have something to update us with? He's going to be at the... Well, that was for the March meeting.
He's not in the room.
He's outside.
Well, this is on the agenda. We'll get to that. Cascade Island TDG. I did not get to a Schlenker yet. What we need to do there.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked. No, that's not true. I mean, we've talked to hydraulic design folks. And
do they think they've got something, or they just got? We don't have any clue.
I don't know. There's the Bonneville trash rake. Schwartz was going to talk with Erickson and get a recommendation back to Fitterwig to either fix the rake or start over. That's where we're at with that.
Regardless, is
that one's not yours, right?
No. So where are you with that?
Another question was funding on that. Was that going to come out of O&M side, or is that CRFM still?
I think it's still, I mean, that's CRFM program manager. I think that's still CRFM. Okay. O&M has never accepted.
The project has been looking at some green trash rakes.
Okay.
As well. Are we on action item 3.4, whatever it is?
Let's get down to 3.9.
He's
being efficient.
Are you just making stuff up?
What do you mean? Well,
no,
some of these are redundant. Some of these
are
from two meetings ago, and they've been addressed, so I'm skipping over those.
All right, well, just tell me they've been addressed so I can take them off of there.
The isometric drawing of the lamprey system has been addressed. The meeting for B2FGE is scheduled. McNary Lamprey Mods, I'm not sure why we're even dealing with that in Portland District, but I think Natalie did talk with Derek Fryer about that. 3.3 has been addressed.
Okay.
It was a coordination zone.
Yeah. So the spilled pit detectors, that's still some action on that.
Okay.
And the fish unit trash rake, we'll discuss today. Let's see what Dennis has for an update on that.
So you're going to, okay.
So
I need to remember.
I'll see.
What are you going
to do? It doesn't have to be just that. I mean, just whatever, you know, layout, what we're going to get for it. Turbine survival program, I did that. That was the April meeting that we had there. 312, we did this. We've got a follow-up meeting the 24th of June.
And you want me to get a room
this
for
is,
that?
I'm sorry, yeah, this is what happens when, yeah, could you move? Yeah. Or here, there or here. So what happens when flow can't support 75K spill at Bonneville?
So you're looking for a room in, over there, is that?
Yeah, is that okay?
Tell me to get a room, and if I can't get one,
For when?
Yeah, if I can't get a room.
Sooner the better.
June 24th.
What's that?
That's the follow-up meeting to decide, really, that there was two questions still laying out there for Bonneville. Minimum spill one was sort of when you stop.
This is the survival?
Yeah.
Okay.
What time were you guys thinking of doing that? Is that morning or afternoon?
I think we cleared off. There was that conference call talking about
it's 9 a.m.
Bonneville slow roll.
So I think, yeah, we'll just go back to morning.
Okay.
Slow roll's not on.
Sounds like a military thing. CFB runs for PH2 and B2 corner collector and training spill. That's 313. That was for this Bonneville exercise. We've done that, but there's additional actions as a result of the April.
And we'll get those.
As a result of the last this month's meeting.
They'll forward out the new ones when they get them.
Yep. John Day North Ladder improvements.
It's on the
Tackley list. Was going to coordinate. It's John Day. Did he do that coordination memo? I think we need more time. We need a time extension for rainwater work period. Is that right? I'm trying to remember this one.
This was for the weir.
Okay. That was way back in March.
What was it for? Yeah. North Ladder improvements.
Yeah. This was the follow-on stuff.
I think we had it extend.
Before water up, right?
Yeah. So alignments,
yeah.
That's done.
Done.
All right, those did not show up on the agenda.
All done.
Okay.
Months done.
We didn't need any directions around the room, did we? Yeah.
You just have sex.
Since there's no one on the phone.
No one on the phone. Well, Will said he was going to be here.
Yeah.
No, he's taking care of his.
He's guarding punch. He's what?
He's guarding the punch. His daughter's graduation party.
Oh,
that's where he was.
Is he guarding the punch or is he enhancing?
I'll pass around.
He could be enhancing. He's got to stay up all night to watch it. So.
What was it?
Oh, he's at his daughter's graduation. They have a party afterwards. He's got to stay up all night.
I had the.
I had a father-daughter.
No, put it on.
It was like 6 megabytes.
But you should have the two open and you'll be up to date until.
There's an agenda for today.
Yep.
Is this the agenda the same as the agenda?
Yeah.
Yep. Lamprey program. No one had any comments that I've. Maybe they sent them and they just lost them again. Rick just asked to add. Rick just asked if we could add the Dells, maybe in wires, to the agenda. So let's do that when we get down to the Dells. I don't know if Pat's planning on coming or not.
Okay, am I up, Mike?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, so I'm going to go through the Lamprey program first, and Sean's sick, for those of you who weren't at the first meeting, and so I'm going to do my best to address the issues. So we had a value engineering study completed for this project, and we asked this independent team to look at constructability issues instead of trying to tweak a design that's at almost 100%, you know, going from 60 to 100%. And what they came up with and came back to us on was, they have provided me a schedule too. So they've thought it through pretty carefully. But what they came back to me and basically said was, we don't think you can get both entrances in your work window. December 1st through February 28th is not enough time. And some of the concerns they have are that we're having trouble getting materials. There could be fabrication issues. We could have weather issues. There's lead time on the pumps. Okay. So they also said it would be better to have two off-the-shelf pumps, little smaller pumps, than a custom-made pump for the lead time issues. Okay, so I talked to Mary Mosier, Chris Caudell, and Bob Hynes talked with Russ Kiefer, and they felt that the upper entrance, so when you look at this diagram, the upper entrance would be everything from the bars up. They felt that everything from the barge up was doable in the in-water work period. So I wanted to, talk with you guys about that, see what your thoughts were, if you agreed or if you have some concerns. So.
You have more of those?
Yeah, here, sorry. You got one.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
So what we would do is
doable within one season, or is
that? And what's that based on? What's that mean first? What does that mean when Mary Mosher says anything from the bars up is doable?
No. Mary Mosher didn't say that. Mary Mosher felt that the upper entrance would be better for lamprey.
I see. Okay. I
think he had to pick one.
I see.
Pick one, right. And so what we're also thinking is that I don't think it's a done deal that we can't get both done. However, I want the team to be successful, and I want some sort of lamprey passage at this ladder since it's such a significant ladder for lamprey. And so what we're thinking about doing is constructing this entrance. We have to bore through the concrete to get the upper flume piece, and we would at the Y we would basically put a plate over the outlet that goes to the lower entrance so that we could provide a fabricated piece at a later date and then bolt it in, and then continue to do the flume on the south side of the wall. So one of my main questions to you is, do you feel that the upper entrance would be the best for lamprey passage with what you know? And it's difficult because we don't have a lot of information. And so.
Well, what's the it almost sounds like you're going to change the design to go with just the upper entrance.
No.
Okay.
We're going to provide it such that we could put the lower entrance in later.
In a subsequent season?
Right, a subsequent season.
Why not just plan to do that?
Why not just plan to do the subsequent season?
Uh-huh.
That's what they're doing.
Okay.
Yeah,
it sounded kind of iffy.
Well,
we can't do it in one season.
If Kahnawake, so what we're trying to do to try to help the schedule is we're bringing in an 8A contractor that we've worked with in the past. They've done good work for us. We're going to bring them on at BECO. BECO's in July. They're going to be able to review the plans. And so the other thing I'm trying to do is take some existing FY10 funds and possibly buy shop drawings, have them start the shop drawings in FY10, and possibly buy the pumps in FY10. So we start purchasing them to help with those lead time issues in this year. And then when the other unknown is exactly when we'll get the money, in October 1st, and the schedule is predicated on getting it October 1st. And that, it rarely happens. Even when you ask for it, you might be a week delayed in getting it. And so I'm trying to help so that we can at least get one entrance in by the end of February, but have it accessible so we could, if Kahnawake says, yeah, we have a fabrication facility, we think we can do it, we've got the materials, we don't think it's a problem. I don't know if they can.
Well, I guess I'm just expressing my interest in not giving up on the second one.
Okay, thank you. I haven't given up on the second one either. So.
I'd like to see if Mary or anyone else has information, like empirical information or from anywhere that suggests one's better than the other. That would be helpful, I think.
She said that she doesn't have any fine scale. I can forward you that email from her.
Yeah.
She had no fine scale, but her gut feeling was that lamprey would use the upper better because they're attracted by that jet.
I mean, we don't have any fine resolution RT that says they're going around the corner as opposed to coming from the bottom. So.
Gary, you have any thoughts?
No, other than I still object to the pump location. That's we're not going to give up on that. But as far as how you do it, sequence it, just whatever's the most.
So what's the problem with it there versus over by the other fishway entrance, which is the alternative location?
I don't know that it's supposed to be over by the other fishway. We're talking about.
They were trying to.
On the other side of Unit 18.
They asked to have it.
That's
relocated to main unit 17.
It'll be further away from fishway entrance.
Yeah, basically put on a vertical face.
Get it off of that wall and get it away from both the entrances and set it over here on the other side of 18, between 18 and 17. So okay. It's out of the way of these.
Maybe.
I know there's floating orifice there, but there it is heavily used disease by any stretch. So,
so we provide.
So it would just be running this. Your connection here would be running a pipe over it, and then you put the pump here instead of you just got.
This is the stuff that Sean Pablo had talked to you about, and that he coordinated the discussion with hydraulics that.
Well, there's some upwelling issues
tube,
associated
yeah.
with the draft tube. There was, okay, how are you going to operate? You've got a crane rail there and a bus right above there, routing. There was some things that the project said, you know, it's dangerous. They came
it's
back
right over the edge
about.
Of the. I mean, that. Well, I think that'd be more dangerous
like
when you have
huh?
to extend the. I think that'd be more dangerous when you're out there having to extend a crane over the ladder.
Well, it's going to be constructed with a barge crane. That's
yeah.
basically
know,
what we're talking
maintenance,
about.
Maintenance, any maintenance? Or
well,
any
that's why we're putting the rail on it, because that was a concern expressed by the project. As you look at this drawing, the crane would have to come over this piece and that piece in order to access it. So
right.
we're actually adding a mechanism to be able to pull stuff out. That's what the railing is.
That's what this is?
Yeah, uh-huh.
The rail, the
little thing that looks like a ladder?
The thing that looks like a ladder is a rail, exactly. So we're trying to address.
Okay.
Yeah, we're trying to address the O&M issue right there.
It's picking over the wall.
Exactly.
If they get it up top, they can swing over and grab it with the crane. They don't have to drop all the way down over the edge.
Right, it'd be easier. Right, exactly, Dennis. So then the other issue, which is one I brought up at the FCOM this morning, was we would really like to try to provide us a little bit more time back, so asking for an extension, and it will be officially asked for an FCOM once Sean gets back from being sick, but basically for December 1st back to November 17th-ish, whatever you could give us so that we can try to facilitate getting that existing lamprey passage stuff out of there also, on top of trying to build this. So, and I know Gary used to have concerns about that, so.
You're not going to be much on us for a while until we have resolved the location issue. Not going to agree to anything.
Well, we provided the guidance back. Sean provided guidance back to you about the concerns at shifting the pump.
I haven't seen anything.
May unit. It went to you.
I haven't been in the office for weeks.
Oh, well, it did go to you and Ed. And Ed commented back, thank you for due diligence and assessing it carefully. And so we thought that, you know, you're not happy with it, but you appreciated the issue. At least Ed appreciated what the issues were from a hydraulic standpoint
that
to doing.
That doesn't resolve the issue, though. I need to talk to Ed. He's in Alaska right now, so I haven't seen him since I got back from Midwest. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Did you bring his fishing rod at least?
So he won't come to dock.
No, yeah, Ed, he probably did.
We're going to award a contract in July.
No.
Oh, I thought you said you're going to bring the A there on in July.
We're going to bring them on, and but the main construction contract won't be till October 1st.
Okay. So can we continue with design with this uncertainty out there? And
we're continuing with the design with the pump located underneath the elbow. Because that was listed as they don't like it as much as the moving to the unit 18 and 17, but it was okay with the ability to turn it off if it was a problem. That's what I remember from the memo.
The one question I did have is, if you put it here, we have the adult tracking study.
Right.
You find a problem, are you, does moving to that other location, are you set up that you could move to the location if we had to?
We have to redesign.
Not until the next year.
Not till.
No, I know that. I'm
not till 13.
I'm just thinking more of, will that, by putting it here and design it this way, have we precluded from ever being able to move it and that kind of stuff? Mm.
Yeah, I don't recall that. I'm not comfortable at all with this. I'm not going to say honestly anything at this point until we have a chance to review. Whatever you provided. What I'm worried about is delay of adults and sea lions taking advantage of that delay. That's death. That's not some delay. Worry about it later sort of thing. That's a right now concern for us. And if
so
we
what
have a delay of adults there, it's going to take a while to evaluate. In the meantime, we kill adults. That just doesn't make sense.
So what if we wait until we're tagging lamprey to run it and test it? Which wouldn't be until after the sea lions
right,
are gone.
June. So we can always turn the pumps on in June.
Well, you got to review what we wrote.
Go ahead and build the thing, and that's going to be like moving the earth to get it changed after that, the way I see
it's,
it.
But it's a prototype, and we've clearly said that it's a prototype. We don't know if it's going to work. We're doing our best with what we know to put in something that will help Lamprey.
Well, I've got to see. But I've got to see the good faith effort at moving that pump first. I haven't seen that. I haven't looked at it.
Well, we provided it.
Haven't seen it, and so I don't know why it's not doable. It seems to be a simple extension of a pipe. Is all it really
well, they gave
there was like almost a full page of comments back, answering line by line, you know, with engineering and the project,
right,
saying these are the reasons why. So it's included in that letter that Sean wrote because I reviewed it.
So I think we need to table this until.
Yeah.
Did that get distributed to everybody?
Mm-hmm. Sean distributed it. I didn't see the email per se, but he said he sent it to all the Fitterway group.
Huh. Okay. I don't.
So.
About when was that sent?
A month ago.
Easily a month. Because we got. Yeah.
I will make sure it got out to everybody.
You might just resend it because Gary's probably.
No, I still have hundreds.
And it could be that it reached full mailbox, so then it comes back to us. So
there might be a mailbox isn't full.
No, it wasn't full. I mean, the one question I had is, so we could basically leave this pump off.
Right, you could
for a little bit. You don't think that just the location of the pump is the problem? You're worried about the actual pump, operation of the pump, and
my concern is the vibration. No, not false attraction. It's the vibration against the wall. There's the fishway wall. I mean, this is the wall. I know it's thick, but it's still just some transmit vibration through there because it's a chunk of concrete. So there's vibration. If that pump gets out of round and starts to vibrate, I mean, it's going to be an issue. I hate to see us trade off Lamprey for adult salmon passage. I'd like to see it set up so that both were protected. And I don't want to, you know, if this thing gets out of round and we have to shut it down, it takes a while to replace it, then you don't have Lamprey passage. Plus, it seems to me that having that pump shaft run right down the edge of the Lamprey passage route, you're taking some risk there, too. Maybe everybody's okay with that, but it seems, I haven't heard many pumps that are smooth enough to not have some noise, especially after they've sat and run for a while. So things tend to get out of round and end up with vibration problems. And then there's the location of it. And you've got this thing now that's I know it's a ways away from the upstream entrance, but it's still pretty close. And especially if fish are staging along that wall and moving into it, now you've got something in the way of them that's making noise. And if it was just a benign structure, I wouldn't worry about it, but this could be a noise maker. It's a risk. And it's a sensitive area. That's my concern. If we have if we only ran it during the summer, I guess without sea lions, I'd be a lot less concerned about it.
And that's a possibility. I mean, there's we don't have to, because as I understand things, and people who know Lamprey better than I do could say if I'm wrong, but I think they come through July-ish, late June, July. I mean, so the passage could be tailored toward sea lions not being there.
I think as a prototype, we're not going to be able to get tag fish until late June, July.
Right.
And so the purpose of this is to test it to see if it works. If it works, we would want to run it much longer. I mean, there's fish that overwinter. We want passage through a longer period of season, and we'd have to deal with the pump location later. And so if the issue is we just don't have time to change and come up with a design, better water supply design, but we still want to prototype it, then I think doing testing in July would address their concerns.
And Sean tried to lay that out in the letter back to NIMS as to what he thought would be best for that testing. So I think I think Gary, once you see that letter back, you will see that we've tried to do everything, and just like Ed said, we did due diligence. We very carefully thought through it. So and Sean thought through, you know, how would we test it. So, you know, take a look at that letter. I wish I had it. I tried to find it this morning, and I couldn't find it. And Sean's not here, so.
Thinking through it is one thing, but resolving the issue is another. And if it doesn't resolve the issue, the issue still stands. So.
Well, but if
I'll look at it and see what it says.
Yeah, because it is a prototype, and if we said that we would start the pump up once the sea lions were gone. That would address part of your concern about delay in sea lions.
And like
Mike said, we would have to test and see it, if it's causing problems. If we find that it's not causing new fish concerns.
That's the problem. It's difficult to make those kind of, I mean, I'd rather just avoid it than to try to evaluate it and find that problem. It could be a problem, we can't see it, but we're still losing fish because of it. It's harder to prove something like that than it is to prove that it's, you know, that's not a problem to start with before you put it in.
Yeah, so if we agree to find another, provided it works, we don't even know if it's going to work yet.
No, I know.
Right,
so
I know.
Provided it works and we want to continue using it, we would find a better alternative for water supply next year or
if this is just 13. A test thing, I don't have a problem with that. But I just don't see things like that happen that way. They usually get stuck.
Well, if it works really well, then the desire is going to be to run it.
Right, and leave it there.
Well, the question is, could you go back to the original design of boring through the wall and having the water come from a different source?
So when we went out to do the review, there is some thought that we could bring in water from the UMT,
right,
boring through, coming down near the count window, bringing a pipe down the slope underneath or boring through the ladder, which you're not going to be happy about. And then provide water that way through gravity. But that has not been researched it out.
Right.
I mean, Steve Schlenker thought about that, you know, did due diligence, tried to figure out how, and that's way more than $2 million. So that's the other issue, is that in any way that we can get screen water is not going to be easy. And we looked at several sites. The ERC couldn't work.
The only thing I was thinking is, like, if we can get this concept of proof out, then you might need to go to a better water supply system and that kind of stuff.
And it could be a new pump location that's
new pump location, approved, get away from pumps in the tail rates that are unscreened and right where adults going.
Well, these will be screened. These will be screened, so.
And did you look at the over on this side where the fish units discharge? Here, there's a couple big diffuser shafts right here. I mean, these used to be diffuser shafts that go down here that open up diffusers for this big area where the fish units diffuse in. Those are out now. We removed those, so they're just straight shots into the
tailgate, into the ladder.
No, they don't go in the ladder. It's water that's being fed from the fish units. It's just auxiliary water.
I don't know if Steve looked at that.
Okay, because that may be a place. I mean, there's room in those rooms to put a pump. And you bring water straight out of the ERC and just straight across and down. You know, that's screened fish unit. That's water coming right through the fish units, bubbles up in the fish ladder. You just pull some of that water out.
I thought you looked at that.
I don't have the whole list. Yeah. And I wish Steve was here.
Yeah.
I can certainly ask him, because I'm sure he wrote it all up in a memo.
Well, I thought the issue was that the change horses, no, we wouldn't get it in on time.
Right, we won't. No. Bob Hynath expressed concern that if we wait till 2013, what does that do to the lamprey who are already struggling?
Like, this is going to work for sure.
Well, it's something, but.
I'm not going to agree to it unless it's run outside the sea lion season. That's what it's going to come down to.
Okay.
That's not an issue.
I think that's easy because I'm having trouble with that. You know, if we just say whenever the sea lions are gone,
because otherwise I just
fire
see
up the pump,
as being
so.
Too much of a. If I don't say that flat out now, then later it's going to be a harder attack for me to.
Would you want
stop
to do
anything?
Would you want dead bodies? Yeah. Would you want to do an evaluation when we got ready to take fish?
We're still willing.
It's not the. You know, if it's real smooth and wonderful, that's great. I bet we're okay. But if it starts to get a little bit rough, then we have some problems. And these frequencies, I mean, look at what we wouldn't have predicted that spring Chinook would bolt and run from the Smith Root array they did.
Some of us did.
Mm-hmm. I mean, 90+ percent, 95+ percent rejection of that just scares me. You know, we're in a situation where fish are running the first ladder. They come to, and they've got predators waiting for them if they hesitate. That's a risk we don't need to take.
Run at night,
and then when sea lions are gone, you don't run during the day when sea lions are there, only run at night when the sea lions are around.
Yeah, you could run at night. We could try that, too.
And then when sea lions are gone, then run at 24 hours?
Yeah.
I don't know if we need to run it. Honestly, the first year, I'm not sure how we're going to monitor it until we can get animals to trap and tag, and that's not going to be until after the sea lions are gone.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he's trying to do ditch and cameras too, so if that can help us, you know, Sean's working through those details. I don't know the specifics.
Yeah, we are.
Okay, I don't want to take up your whole meeting. Are there any, because I have some more stuff to brief you on. Is there anything else you want to chat with me about?
No, the direction I got from the shop is putting this in, but I would suggest that if this does prove out to be a concept, we're going to want to re-look at where we get our water from.
Okay.
Because I also do have concerns. That's what our primary interest is. I don't want to do anything that's going to impact that.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so there's nothing more to tell you about the debt study. You saw the NIFRS are out, they're working on that work. And then for John Day, the North Fish Ladder. I'm sure you've heard what's been happening, the dialogue. One of the motors burned out, or the new motor burned out, and so we can't move the crowd or we can't clean the window, but the new motor, we're at a half horsepower, we're now at 2 horsepower motor, it's coming in, it should be here by the end of June, and there was an official EPCOM request to put that in as soon as possible. So when it's working, it looks really, it's great out there. The count windows, you can really see the fish well, and the count people are thrilled, but it's not good right now. We're trying to fix it.
When do you think the motor's going to come in?
The end of June. They ordered it the end of May. It takes about 4 weeks.
And that'll fix it.
Yeah, it worked fine. I mean, before the half horsepower kicked off, burned up, whatever.
From a half horse.
Yeah. Well, we had other
beef
issues.
Beef it up,
and it should work.
Who's funding that? Is that the contractor, or you guys?
Yeah.
So there was a coordination form on that, and I hadn't seen any comments back about them installing it at the end of June.
And it's over the water, so it's, you don't, but there was some discussion about we really need to do it at night, and so.
So you're going to, it's over the water, yeah, and there's I don't see that as a problem. Okay. You just got to put, just don't drop any oil in the ladder.
No, there's no oil in it. What I understand
gear
is
boxes.
That it's encased, so you don't have that concern.
Just encased.
Just drop the pump, yeah.
I don't see that as a problem.
It's within the requested, Sean. He explained it better than I'm doing.
Yeah. We don't have our space, so
okay.
Just re-entry. It's been rough.
Okay. So any more questions about the fish exits?
Okay.
The fish entrance work. So thank you for your comments for the 60%, those of you who provided comments to Sean. We're still working on the 13.8 kV tap to provide basically the power from the generators down to the pumps, six pumps. The six pumps, we just did the evaluation for the request for qualifications. We had four contractors and subs bid it, and we are down to two that will go for the request for proposal. And that should be out early July. And I'm also doing mandatory work and trying to set up options such that if we get an ARRA dump, which I've heard we could, I'll try to utilize all the ARRA money I can possibly take to try to keep the pumps moving. So what we're trying to work through right now is how can we obligate pump money when we're still trying to work out what the pump is going to look like. So I'm working with contracting on that. But if we're able to take an ARRA dump, then that will really help on the FY11 CRFM needs. And that's my hope, guys. So are there any other questions for me about my jobs? Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Uh-huh. You're welcome.
Sean, I'm not sure if Sean told you this, but I'm here because Sean invited me to come and present the preliminary results from the steelhead study at the Dallas Dam.
Okay.
I don't know if that should be now or later, or if you guys want to brush through it or ask questions, I can answer.
Neither Pat Dyke nor Kranda nor Don Erickson are here.
So
and the Dallas Spillwall.
The whole afternoon.
The Dallas Spillwall and Adult Studies are next. And actually, Adult Studies are really under Natalie's program here. So is that okay? Should we have him give us his update?
Yeah,
no?
Sure.
Yeah, thank you.
Do we want to do the whole slideshow business? Or there's been a few handouts. I didn't want to waste a bunch of paper. I made the bold assumption that most people read the preliminary report.
a long time ago.
I should bring a presentation of CD if the projector's working. I'd be happy to go through it.
It's not working. I couldn't get it to work.
It's probably a restart issue. I can try it again and restart it. But
yeah, or I could pass these out. You guys could look over each other's shoulders and I can go through it.
That'll be enough.
Yeah, let's do that.
You want to try restarting it? Ben, what would you prefer? You want me to try to restart it? And
if you could get it to work, that might help. Then people aren't.
Me too.
I'm
going to
need one for that. Need one for that and French.
Jeff, you can grab one of those.
Oh!
What about using that computer?
It likes, it has a process as far as...
Doug? You got to have...
Yeah, I have no idea.
Oh, you got to sign on.
Can you sign on to that one and do it, you know? This one just has a... with how it likes to be...
The last time I came here and did a presentation, we had to do it on that one, and one of you guys, I don't remember who, I think it was Hevlin, signed on that one.
It works, it just has an order. I think we might have to shut it down and start it all back up. We've got a way it likes to... Yeah, no, the way this goes, it goes in here and then it goes out here. This is the way I read it. This is a...
You pull up and down on that, so I know which one it is.
See, there's, these are the two, which is just...
Pull up on the big one.
Those are the two small ones. So basically the big one feeds into the projector and then the two small talk. Right, okay.
I feel like I'm on that Apple thing.
It's in the computer.
Where Steve Jobs introduced his new iPhone. And he couldn't hook up to the wireless internet.
Oh, no.
He's going to get my horse. Steve, got any suggestions? I'm going, other than Steve better dust off his resume?
Probably not. See, now I just think it's a restart issue where you have to shut it down.
Really?
You don't want to.
Yeah, I remember last time I was in here, we had this whole...
We can just go through these. Everyone's got one.
Pretty much everyone's got one.
Got a full.
Ben?
Yeah.
Just start with these. Pretty much everyone's got one.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
All right. Well, then.
Small group helps. Problem is, you got Gary, who's got it to stubborn mode. He's going to make it work.
Yeah, he's going
to
make it work.
We'll just do reverse psychology. Gary, we know you can do it. You don't have to prove
it. See if Gary can make it work.
Gary, this is beneath you. This isn't even worth your time.
You could tell him he can't do it. He's going to...
I know. He's not going to be able to do it.
Yes, but you don't want to add it.
Okay. Because it should find it now without this one.
I had this issue last time. I had to call down the guy, and he's like, "Oh, you just need to turn this off."
No, let's just get started.
Yeah,
just get through.
Go ahead and get going.
All right, so I will go through the presentation without a slideshow, and you guys could look through the handouts. Almost all of you, I imagine, are aware that the concerns operating a sluice way in the wintertime at the Dalles is for adult steelhead passage, fallbacks, and kelp passage, and all of that. And this is a second-year study, a follow-up to the study we did in the 2008-2009 winter. For this year, the goals and objectives are pretty much the same. We added a third part of the study. Instead of doing just the fall, winter from the November to December 15th and March 1 to April 10th, the region and the Corps of Engineers asked that we do a what we would call a winter powerhouse only study. So the study went from March 1 all the way to April 10th, but we had I divided up into three sections or three segments, and The objectives were the same as last year, to estimate fish passage rates and distribution for adult steelhead, pass into sluice vein determinants. We had three study periods. The first one was from November 1 to December 15, and that's the sluiceway and powerhouse. December 16th to February 28th was the powerhouse only. And then March 1 to April 10th, period 3, is back to the powerhouse's sluiceway for kelp passage or fallback. Something to note is there was an oil spill at the outfall, and they weren't able to clean it up and get everything up and running until March 8th. So the powerhouse part of the study, period 3, just got extended instead of February 28th to March 7th. And the sluiceway study started on March 8th when they got the sluiceway back up and running. I'm going to go right into the results. Period 1 results for the sluiceway and turbine study. We saw 879 fish, adult steelhead, passing the sluiceway and powerhouse between November 1 and December 15th. That's about 20 fish a day on average in the 45-day study period. 804 passed the sluiceway and 75 passed the powerhouse.
Excuse me.
Yes.
So these aren't direct counts. How are you detecting them?
These are direct. They're hydroacoustics.
It's hydroacoustics.
Oh, okay. That's okay. I was wondering why you would have confidence interval if it was an observation.
Expand.
Yeah, it's expanded.
Okay. Yep.
We do statistics and we expand the, like for the turbine intake, we have a transducer in one of the three, but we expand it with the sluiceway. Mm-hmm. I should tell you, backing up a little bit, last year the sluiceway study involved opening or operating all six sluice entrances. And we didn't see too many fish passing at 1-1 and 5-2. And so the decision for this year's study was to operate with only four sluice entrances. So we had 1-2, 1-3, 18-1, and 18-2 open. So coming back to the results, runtime peaked in early December. Passage was highest at sluice 1. Sluice 1 is the winner, as same as last year. And sluice 18 passed the second highest, and a handful went through turbines 8, 16, and 18. And for the individual sluice entrances, sluice 1-3 passed the highest number of fish, about 469 targets, followed by sluice 18-2. And then a handful went through 1-2 and 18-1. We saw the same thing last year, except last year we saw very little in 1-1 and a little bit more in 1-2. But 1-3 is always the winner. The ideal distribution was highly variable, same as last year. It peaks and dips throughout the day, and it just means that these fish were passing at all times of the day. There was no real good pattern. Going into the period 2, the turbine-only study from December 16 to March 7th, remember this is a turbine-only, we saw 62 fish, adult steelhead, passing the powerhouse intakes. Something to note, we didn't see any fish passing in December. The first set of fish we saw was on January 14th. January 31, February 2nd, 22nd, and 24th. And of those intakes, we saw fish passing. Main unit 18 passed the highest amount, about 38 fish, followed by main unit 5, and then main unit 2. And something to note here, this is interesting, and over the years, I've been doing fish research at the Dalles for years, juvenile, we've always seen fish passing at main unit 8. For the juveniles and the adults. Last year we saw adults passing in the fall and in the spring, but none during this period of time, and that's because main unit op was off for the entire, from December through March. It was off.
Is it out of service or just didn't run?
I don't know. According to dam ops, it was just off. I didn't look and see the maintenance record, but in the wintertime they were only running a few units here and there, and I guess main unit 8 was not a priority one, so. Okay. But yes.
It's out of service.
Okay.
But it was on during your earlier period.
Correct. It was on in the fall, and you'll see again when I get to the spring, it was on, and we did see fish passing there.
This is a very curious pattern to me. Why would so many fish go through a single unit and none go through adjacent units? Were the other, how many were they on? You've got 38, it looks like, going through 18 and nothing right through the adjacent turbine.
Right. Some of these weren't always on. Yeah. In the wintertime, I did not present the dam operations here, but I do have that, and I looked at it, and yeah, a lot of these units were off. I don't know what their priority of operating the units were, but a lot of these were off.
Is 18 a priority unit just because it's over the sluiceway entrances?
The sluiceway is open here.
Yeah.
But this is the winter, so the sluiceway was closed.
Oh.
There's not many fish total, anyway.
No.
There's very few targets.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's over.
This is expanded,
that's
right?
That's over 2.5 month period.
Expanded numbers. So the actual targets you detected were...
Right, yeah, this is expanded numbers.
So there's probably, the sample sizes are really small.
Correct, that's why we had in the previous page there some pretty big error bars.
December to March, it's 1 through 22 in any order.
So okay. Yeah. As far as diel go for these few fish in the wintertime, it appears that they passed during the morning periods. We didn't see any fish passing at night or late afternoon.
This is for a turbine?
Yes.
Okay.
Results for period 3, which is the spring study, the sluiceway and turbine. So this was from March 8 to April 10. We saw 1,985 fish passing both the sluiceways and turbines. That's a daily average of 58. 1,958 passed the sluiceway, so about 99% passed the sluiceway, and the handful passed the powerhouse. And run timing peaked in, we had two peaks, one in both mid-March and again in early April. The dark shaded column represent the days when fish passed turbine units, and so it was only on one day on February, on March 20th, we saw some fish pass in the turbine. And...
That's weird when it passed one day only.
Yeah, all 27 in one day.
Yeah.
Well, it's expanded.
Yeah.
And guess what that one turbine unit was? Unit 8.
Unit 8.
So, passage was highest at sluice 1 again, followed by sluice 18, and then the 27 fish passed at unit 8.
The golden
unit. And the three individual sluice entrances, 1, 3, The passes were about the same. 1, 3 passed 579 fish, and 1, 2 passed 574, followed by 18-1 and 18-2. So these were pretty similar passing, but unit 1 again was the winner, and 1, 3 seemed to pass a little bit more. And last year it was kind of similar, but and then 1-1 passed just a handful, and that was, I think that was one of the reasons why we did not operate 1-1 this year. Dial distribution is similar to the last year and the spring, where they were all over up peaks and dips, and so they were passing at all times of the day. And I put a summary table at the very end here to kind of put everything back together. So for the study period from November 1 to April 10, we had 2,926 steelhead targets passing. 804 went through the sluiceway in period 1, which is in the fall. 75 in the turbine, so we had a total of 879. For the winter study, the turbine only study, we had 62 fish. And then for the spring study, we had a total of 1,985 fish.
Fenton, could you start over again?
Oh. Yeah, he's got it off.
We're on the last
slide. We're on the last slide.
It's always about
that.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
Yay. All right, Doug.
You
can't see it anyway.
And so for period 3, we had almost 2,000 fish passing, and that's in the spring. So for the whole overall total for this year's study, it was almost 2,926 fish. I went ahead and put the table, since it's a second-year study, I went ahead and put the numbers of last year's study so we can do a little bit of a comparison. And remember, last year we didn't have a powerhouse study, so there was no, there was a period 2, but that period 2 is actually period 3 of this year. And for the last, in 2008 fall winter study, we had a total of 1,790 fish, and in the spring we had 1,766 fish. So something to note is this year there were less fish in the fall than last year, 879 versus, you know, almost 1,800 fish. One thing we did different this year with our data analysis was we used in addition to the filters that we used last year, we used some more because when we were, as we're looking through the data, we wanted to be sure that we're, you know, only looking at adult steelhead. So we had a little bit tighter, more robust filtering system. And I don't know if that's why the numbers got reduced, 879. When I ran it with last year's filter, we had a lot more fish. We had almost what we had last year, almost 2,000 fish.
So if you ran last year's data through this year's filters, you'd assume...
Correct. So my plan, and this is something I'll, you know, I'm telling you guys, we have a draft final data report, or draft final full report due at the end of July. And I plan in the next few weeks is to run last year's data with this set of filters, go back and verify that we're not missing anything or we're not looking at things that we shouldn't be looking at. And then that new information will be included in this report that's coming out at the end of July. Because when I ran the used last year's filter, that 879 got pretty close to 2,000.
If you do that, or even if you don't, if you could explain what that filter does...
We will.
Difference.
Yes, I will. And in the next meeting or presentation or in the report, I'll explain all that.
So we know
what... Yes.
What you should put in the report whether or not you present it to us in a meeting.
Pardon me?
The description?
Yes.
Should go in the report regardless of...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yes, that will be in the report because that will be the reference. So that was the quick... presentation. And
did you do Didson this year again?
No, we did not do Didson this year. This was just a hydroacoustic study. Questions, thoughts, comments?
Thank you.
Good work.
Nice work.
Yeah. Thanks. I think that the thing we can get out of this is we know where the fish are passing and we know when they're passing and the numbers.
Could you send that? Is that going to be available?
Yeah.
As a,
give me an electronic and I'll send out the notes.
Yeah.
You got it? All right.
So go on with the minutes and we can,
yeah,
at least until you get a report, we'll have that to look at. Plan and all you can get. That's
great. I can scan it too.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Ben.
No, someone can have this.
Gary needs one.
Oh.
Do you think opening a gate over 108
would...
That would be interesting.
Kind of interesting. We've got a lot of fish right up until we shut this way off.
This
and then
on and off over the years. It never came
and there's a lot of fish right where we can turn it on.
It would be
so
interesting. But I've seen,
and you don't see them at Bonneville in spring. You didn't see that those numbers moving downstream if they were kelps.
Every time
we
see
them at Bonneville.
I think a lot of these are, I've done the analysis. You know, a lot of these guys fall back.
Snake River fish moving up.
Because I don't see through, and this gives them a route to go. It's the same thing I'm thinking about for McNary. We need to have some better route for them to turn.
Well, they're not using it.
They're not using it
until you turn the sluice way on. You had 40 fish all winter long. You turn it on, and they start doing that.
So they're falling back
involuntarily,
you think?
No, they like that surface flow, so they're going down it. Then they realize they're in the wrong spot. They climb the ladder and do it again. I think that's why.
The fallbacks?
Yeah, we're thinking these maybe fallbacks rather than kelps.
Yeah.
Because you look at last year's study, and it's the exact same numbers for both study periods. It's like it's the same population of fish.
Just rotating through.
Yeah.
And didn't U.S. or was it U.S. who did, or University of Idaho,
yeah,
many years ago, they saw it with the radio, they would come up and then go back and come up and go back.
That was the box.
I mean, these numbers are similar, they're not the same, but I have to agree with Jason. And then the curious thing is about that main unit 8, you know, like Bob Cordy was just saying, well, I know what would happen if we opened the sluice entrance above unit 8.
Probably wouldn't pass anything.
Probably at the close 5 because we're already at our max for flow in this loose way.
Okay. I'm going to move on to the next agenda item. You said the draft is already out for this?
No.
It's coming out in July.
July 31st.
Last year's is out.
We have last year's report is out. Yeah, you guys have last year's.
That's
report.
What you were talking about earlier, I thought.
Right. The draft report for this will be on July 31st.
Okay, good.
Thanks again.
Yeah.
The Dalles Spillwall Extension. Pat's not here. I think we could take this off the agenda except for Rick's item, which is the avian wire array. You guys agree? I mean, is there anything to talk about till we see results on this?
No, it's fine. Apparently.
We don't. Hasn't fallen apart yet.
Yeah.
So. I believe it's in the. I believe Pat had it in the plans to rework this array next year. We just couldn't get something in. We didn't have plans for this year. Is that?
He does have plans. I don't.
I thought so. That's we asked that.
There's.
We'd have to put something in. We talked about putting something in last year, and we said, well, let's see where the birds feed, and we'll design something for next year. So.
Oh.
Should be in CRFM. Yes. In any case, something like that's needed, right?
Yes.
Well, just
yes,
for your information, we just talked about this at FPOM because we have several alternatives, like five alternatives now for what we're looking at. We were planning on doing for next year.
Okay.
But if it's going to fall in CRFM, we can just...
We'll check. Let's make sure that's...
...for you and let you run with it, I guess.
Well, if you guys are already working something, I mean, it's just a case for it.
Yeah, I mean, either way, we got to do something different than we got now.
Well, we kind of voted through EPON to choose one alternative, but then that should go forward to Fairway and through SCT.
I don't think I copied you on those, Mike. I can send those to you, what we have.
Those figures? Is it these? Or is it something else?
Yeah, it's those.
Yeah, at least the one that you're the preferred alternative probably should go forward. I don't know that it's
so
as constructible as
that. Did you get that action item, Tammy? So I need to check with Pat Dyke to make sure that this was a discussion last year, but to make sure that this is in the CRFM for next cycle.
So I should send that to Pat, too?
Mm-hmm.
So, were you guys there for the discussion this morning? Mm-hmm. What was the gist of it?
Well, we just talked.
There's five alternatives.
Yeah, you know about them.
Yeah. You chose the one.
Just one of the keeps off.
Yeah.
They're each one of them.
I wonder why you couldn't. We couldn't use
one more wire.
It's got a couple of wires fewer than some of the other alternatives.
I saw that. So we're looking.
Is that an array?
That's what I'm thinking about. Is that if they're further apart. Why not use a couple more?
Yeah, make it denser.
Yeah.
That's
maybe a consideration of where the picture, where the birds are eating. So.
Are we going to stay on task here? Are we still talking about like one conversation? So I don't know. You guys want to have a separate meeting on this? So do we have? Well, I don't know. You guys have the alternatives to present then that we're looking at, or you already talked about them at
FPOM? We talked about
them at FPOM. Yeah.
I guess the point. Okay, the point.
I have one.
No, there's five different
ones. Oh.
Don't go there.
All right.
Stop. Mm. What's needed here is we chose a general alternative in FPOM, the way I see it, and that's the preferred one that the project has put forward. There may be modifications to that, such as exactly where the pole goes, exactly how many lines are on it. And so it isn't. We're not saying that's perfect,
right.
But that's the general gist of what we'd like to see, so then that should go forward to design.
Yeah, okay. There may be another alternative that we're missing.
Yeah.
And is there observers out there now?
There's an observer, right?
Yeah.
So, this field unit's observing right
now. So, and Fenton said that he observed fish right up in the tail rays, picking fish right out of the boil.
They are so brave now. Excuse me. I was just telling you guys, I was out there, every day I'm out there in the Dalles, and yesterday I stood and watched them on the spillway. They're all the way up inside, just a few feet from the spillway, inside the wall, and they're really successful. Every time they come in and dive, they're picking up a fish, and I'm thinking, there goes one of our tags. There goes another tag. And
they're killing us. And field units noticing that same thing. The success rate is
way higher. I can't believe, I've never seen them come this close to the dam.
I saw them up there pretty far, too, and was amazed at how far up in the spillway.
So that might play into the design.
Well, the design doesn't cover that area very well.
No, it doesn't.
But so what we have now doesn't. And we, when we went into this season, we were thinking of doing that. And we even had some prints on posts that we could put on the wall and cover the hole inside the wall, but we weren't sure what kind of oversplash we'd get, and you know, you get one high spill and it'd take out all the lines.
Usually you don't see fish, I mean, you don't see birds feeding that far up in a spillway.
No, there's the first year I've seen
that far up in the whitewater. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're getting hammered.
Are they coming up close out?
Yeah,
white bellies.
They're in the water.
We're rolling fish.
Rogue.
Okay, I'm going to, I've got that, I think. We're going to check. See, I think we'll move this into Fitterwig if it's CRFM. If not, the Coral will have to figure out how we're funding this. And
was that observation?
The team together.
Was that observation just recently? Like this last, with this really high flow and these high big gate openings? Or
I noticed it last week.
Yeah, mine was.
They weren't coming up there.
But earlier, I didn't see them earlier either.
They did for a little bit, and then when did some.
They were down by the bridge when we had spills in the 60 to 70 K range, but now we're in the 100 K range or higher, so that's what's.
I first noticed a handful of them last week, and then earlier this week, I realized they were getting closer. And then yesterday, I mean, they were just right there.
Really? I was there watching them on Tuesday and didn't really see. Yeah,
there's a few birds there, but
just very few. A couple. I didn't think there were any until I looked a little closer, and then I could see a couple of them.
Was it more in the morning when you were seeing them, or in the afternoon?
It was in the afternoon. It was about 4 or 5 o'clock, because I spent a good time out there watching them. They were just, and you know, a couple would come in, and then the rest, I was like, oh, there's an all-you-can-eat buffet there, and then the rest would join them, and I couldn't believe how successful they were in the boil, that they would just come dive in and...
Yeah, because usually they stay in the clear water, they're not up in the white water.
Well, the memo's going out.
I guess.
Better be ready for them.
And it's real hit and miss, too, because we'll just get killed one day, and then the very next day, everything's gone. I mean, the hazers... The hazers even left one day because there's nothing around.
The numbers of fish passing are down too by quite a bit. So.
Well, that's what we figured it was, and then all of a sudden they show up again.
Gosh.
I should mention one more thing too. We're noticing an occasional fish stranded up on top of the wall.
I know.
I don't know how much it is. It just so happens I've only really spent two times watching flow down there, and I've seen fish come up on the wall three times, so we're going to try to enumerate that a little more. That might be another follow-up.
But I had one.
I went over there with the purpose of looking at that on Tuesday just to see if we were getting water on the wall, and I didn't see much. Even at the high flows, I was thinking, well, okay, that's not a problem.
Well, we saw and they don't last long because there's a fat crow.
He just kind of wobbles out there, so
yeah.
He was doing well.
He just goes down and picks the eye out right away and is done.
Call him Wilbur.
All right, can we move on now?
Yeah. Sorry.
I don't have anything for survival study methods, so.
That's what you think we're having this meeting at.
Last time I did it, I said I'd never do it in the afternoon again, away from our office. Number one, it's hard for our PMs to show up, and engineers don't show up, and it's bad, poor attendance. George and Natalie, which you know what, for CRFM, they're pretty much it.
I always see the who's dedicated.
Who else is there?
I can give a short update on B1 sluice mods.
Okay.
Of course, all the sluiceway B1 is all the constructions improvements are complete. Mm-hmm. The only thing that we're doing right now is we're tweaking the operation of the automated sluice gates a little bit. That system, you know, of course, follows forebay and also looks at channel elevation so the channel doesn't flood. Yesterday, we kind of met with Sean Askelson and the hydraulics folks because we had one extraneous reading on one sensor, so it was kind of throwing the channel off a little bit. But anyway, we worked through those bugs, and we're getting... as built to the project. So, I mean, that system, you know, even with the amount of debris that's coming down, we're not getting any debris clogs into that sluiceway anymore. It's staying full flow, and you know, it's way better than it used to be. You know? So, anyway, that's a good thing. So that's where we are with that. The Bonneville spillway repair stuff, I think Don shared about the gate repair pit stuff and called in.
Yeah. Yep.
About when that stuff was, so we got that coordinated already. That's Mike, that's captured already in the FPOM notes. Don called in. And update on B1 powerhouse major rehab. Unit 7, we talked about that a little bit. 7 returned to service. We did our 72-hour heat run. Now we're into the 100-day test, and then per the FPOM notes, we're going to be changing unit in the priority list to try to get it to run a little bit longer. We want to get a 100-day test on it, so we're going to move it up in priority, but we're also going to open up sluiceway 7A and close 6C. If we're going to move that up in the priority, if we're going to use move 7 up in the priority. So that was captured in the FPOM notes.
The Laura's Memorial Rake.
Laura's Memorial. Boy.
And never leaving.
The fish unit rake. Both Sean Tackley and myself are trying to move forward with a little bit of stuff on the trash rake. Talking with Ben and what improvements have to be done. There's also some interest because we're turning those fish units on and off at night, for lamprey passage, what it's going to take to maintain a raking system over there. So there's still ongoing work, and I'm sorry, I just haven't been fully engaged in that. We're finding out exactly what
nobody
the issues are.
For 20 years.
The riggers have been doing some investigations into different rakes around the region that are more mobile. So you might want to talk to Brian Smith. I know he has tried to set up some tours to go look at some of these rakes that are actually in operation here in Multnomah County.
When
you say mobile, something you could move to other systems as well?
Quite possibly something that can be moved. But he's also looked at, Atlas Fuller has a pretty interesting crane rake thing that looks like it could, from their drawings, potentially serve for the fish units, but I'm not sure how much space it takes up. But he's been doing some research.
Okay, I remember that discussion was with just auxiliary water intakes, but it's now to fish units too?
He had originally also looked at fish units, but some of the rigs that he's looking at may potentially.
So the question still is this one going to work that we have, or do we need to start over?
Right, and that's the question right now.
And so what are we doing to see if this is one that's going to work? Anything?
We haven't had our tests yet. We've been waiting for our tests for a couple of months now.
They had the test, I thought.
Yes, about.
And it didn't work.
Yeah.
You what?
They did the test, I think, some of the tests. There were still issues associated
with over travel. With the ears on there, they did a test after they modified it.
There was over travel on the drum. You've got to exceed the limits of the gantry before this thing will come all the way up out of the slot. Bad. It's already at the gantry limit when it comes to weight, so you can't, even if you grab a log, you're exceeding the gantry limits. There's some major issues with it, and then their bucket, the bucket doesn't have any holes in it, so the water doesn't drain out as it lifts, so all the crap comes out.
Beer party with drills, and we were
beer party with drills. I mean, so that's as much as I know.
Been waiting for the invite.
Yeah,
I've got a healthy drill. So, I'm ready to go.
Anyway. I put down an action item for Sean and I to work on this because he was interested in lamprey. I would just like to drive a RIP in it. And
I think
it's start
over. We need to figure out if there's still a PM on this.
Just going to take lamprey to dry.
Ron Erickson was the PM, but it's just been kind of.
And then get the final word from the project that it's not going to work, or
it's going to be a reef habitat, and we start over. Or?
They're selling scrap metal pretty well.
And
is
telling people that it's been sold on eBay.
Nice.
Hope so.
Or maybe he just told me that.
You told people.
We're gonna cap the oil spill with it. Go down there and drop it on the
scrap shot.
Probably
the mud shot. We're gonna scrap shot now.
So the action item is Dennis and Sean are gonna work with whoever's the PM and the project to figure out what it's going to take to get a final decision on can we make this work or not.
Yep.
What's that?
The fish rock.
Yeah.
Mike's going to put in my performance objectives.
Cylindrical dewatering screen all over again.
That's
all nice. Yeah. Maybe we just need to give it to George Medina and things will happen. I'll talk to Donnie about that.
All right.
You can use it as a draw capture for turbid bass fish.
George, sorry, we've taken a while to get up to you here. You want to come on up to the table here? You don't have to sit way back there. We have plenty of room here.
We'll look at where we are.
We've got cupcakes up here.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why I want to stay where I am. Just a couple of short printouts here. I'm sorry that they're not more detailed, but this just kind of helps me walk through the
successful project.
Do you two actually need to start with that one more agenda? I know we've talked about this a couple of times, but basically, as a result of our goals and objectives for that project, we went back and we did some reevaluation of the hydraulic modeling that was done earlier on. And we believe, and this was stated before, that there is a relationship between what's taking place in the gate wells and the BGS. We went back and we reevaluated the first evaluation. We had somebody else look at this modeling data, and we came up with the same conclusion. So towards that end, I think we're looking to have a special featherweight meeting on this particular subject, brief you guys on it, and lay out for you folks what we think our alternatives should be. I think we're looking to do this in June
17th.
17th of this month?
Yeah, next Thursday.
Okay. So at that point in time, rather than going into a lot of hand-waving, let's look at it then. We'll present the data for you. You guys can come to the same conclusions. Well, come to the conclusions that you come to. You guys will come to the same
conclusions. So you're going to kind of do a little bit
subtle of direction.
No, not at all. Too much respect for you guys. Too much, sir.
He's being a fun spruce.
The same subject, or the same project, I should say, that's also including the light attraction study, Gatewell. And I think that you've been briefed on that.
Gordy's here, and he's got the first. He's got the set of data for this for our spring releases.
Yep.
I think most of you are aware we're doing a lighting study up in McNary. I'll let Gordy lead on it. Issues associated with B2 guidance and issues associated with passage of juveniles in the B2 gate wells after our B2 modifications.
Yeah, and basically, I guess the reason we're doing it in McNary is because we have the orifice traps in place. And so we're releasing, what we're doing is we're releasing 100 of each species that we can collect that are pit tagged, 100 at 6 a.m. And then another 100 of each at 6 p.m. They're released through a hose behind the trash rack and allowed to go the full passage route up through the screens, and then they're detected as they come through the orifice trap right there at the unit. And basically, I've got both morning and release. Morning's on the left for all three species. The steelhead, we're having a problem getting steelhead. They're just all going over the
10W.
Yeah, so. Yeah. We're just not collecting them. So those are ranging from 10 fish to, I think we had 3 days so far where we actually had full replicate. So, but basically what we're seeing is the differences are mostly with the 6 a.m. releases for the yearling Chinook and for the sockeye, where 300 Lux seems to reduce egress within the gate well. At night, we're not seeing that difference as much because the fish are just passing much more readily through there. And we saw an earlier difference.
It looks like the biggest difference was early in the year.
Yeah.
Is that a different? Does that due to number of fish, or is that just?
No, the fish numbers for both the species have been constant. What it most likely is associated with is maybe multiplication.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just the fish wanting to get downstream faster. So, but there seems to be a little bit of a benefit. It's hard to get those fish out of the gate wells during the day, and so.
When was week one? What day was that? Like April 20th? When did you start?
We started the first week in May.
Okay.
So 6 p.m., it's still pretty light out.
It is.
But is that when you look at the diel pattern, is that kind of when fish come through the bypass in McNary?
Yeah, we kind of picked that because we wanted to have a 12-hour test.
But they're coming through in an hour.
Yeah, they're blowing through faster than during the 6 a.m. release.
Turbidity change through time here at all?
Not until this week. It was clear. You could look down. The orifice is about 10 feet down. You could see individual LEDs.
Wow.
Did you see individual what?
LEDs.
Wow.
So Yeah, there was no turbidity on our monitor at all until this weekend. And
made up for it.
Now it's chocolate
that's
milk.
Why the, that's why the birds were singing right into the water. Yeah. Now. But that's been turbid for the last few days.
Maybe they can see them better up here.
Yeah, see the white background.
So we are gonna there's a we've had a week lull.
We just started sub-yearlings, and we're continuing to get enough yearling Chinook and sockeye to get in a sixth week, which is what our goal was, to at least get in 6 weeks of these tests. So now that we've started sub-yearlings, we're going to press on with them and go from there, see if we see anything with them.
I think it's premature, but the data suggests that maybe perhaps there's a benefit, perhaps. The question that I would have looking next year and the off years is, okay, what do we do? What do we do with the model? What do we do this year? What do we do with the model that we've got out there? What do we do with the model that we've got? In light of the fact that we're looking at having B2, I think it might be prudent to continue to study, but I would look to you folks to get some feedback.
Continue the light study, George?
Yeah. But it's a question that I've got. I'm reluctant to just say, hey,
well,
done.
I mean, you might say, looking at these data alone, you might say, well, turn them on during the day, shut them off at night. But I'd like to see another iteration of data.
I think you want to move towards something that's going to be practical to put in at these projects, because the ring that's in there right now is pretty bulky. It sticks out there quite a bit.
The ring light?
Yeah, we're not seeing a whole lot of problems with the actual ring getting clouded with growth or whatnot, which would cause issues with the light. But and probably a lot of that is just the velocity coming through there, just cleaning it off. But definitely need to look into something that will fit down there, maintenance free.
The design now is just to get something down there that we could change out during an operation if something happened.
Assume that we would design permanent a lot different than what this is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It would be kind of embedded in. We're envisioning something embedded flush into the wall.
Right.
You know.
I thought. Yeah. The idea was to look at different intensities.
Right.
Yeah.
That's just the idea here.
Yep.
But I mean, what this is kind of telling you is that you're not seeing much benefit at night, but you're seeing benefit during the day. Steelhead maybe less so. They're more direct at the past, but also there isn't any fish in there, so you're not sure what you're seeing. So
there was some discussions too on whether we need to look at higher intensity. Mm-hmm. We're seeing a bigger difference with 300 lux than 50 lux.
Yeah,
it seems like when you see a difference, it's pretty substantial. It's
And we kind of chose 300 lux because all of the previous literature said anything higher than that might cause fish to be repelled. So,
yeah. And really, it's only sockeye that shows much of a difference between
the two. You're getting a couple hours there for your own Chinook.
It'd be kind of to see what the plus or minus are.
Yeah.
I guess I would say you'd want to at least verify this with another year.
Okay. And then do you repeat it at McNary, or do you say, okay, well, you know, the test was intended to make improvements at Bonneville.
Right.
Do you move it to Bonneville to say, well, did you want to test it at Bonneville?
Then you get another variable. I'd repeat at McNary and leave it at
I know Brad Eby's already pissed off that I'm doing a test at his dam. He may have to put in lights at his dam.
You gotta keep Gordy closer.
Get your test away from Gordy closer
to home too. It's a long drive for Gordy down to Bonneville.
Yeah, Gordy's a little longer drive. So, I mean, those are the kind of things that a PM is George is knocking on the door when it comes to cost. Because if we repeat at McNary, it's fair, you know, everything's in place. If we try to repeat this at Bonneville, then you got to build a pit trap for an orifice, and that's substantial cost and stuff. But we were trying to make a decision to whether or not we move forward with putting the additional cost into a lighting system at Bonneville. I'd hate to eat that up with, you know, in research costs when you could be putting it into construction costs.
Yeah, I understand, though. I mean, like Gordy says, there's an intensity issue with it, and also I wonder about turbidity. Very clear water this year, that may not be the case in most years.
Right.
Well, we might see a difference, too, this week.
Yeah. So those are sort of things I'd want to know more about before we just thought we knew all we need to know
exactly.
about this.
Yep.
I would really encourage about a year of research.
Yeah. And I was going to say, is it going to be a problem if you did go with light ring? Would it be difficult to make it so if you want to make it brighter?
No. No, this is a very, very flexible operation.
Yes.
Yeah, we made it so we can ramp it up. We also tried to build. We're working with a system also too that would follow turbidity. So you'd have a if the water became more turbid,
a certain distance,
you get a certain distance out. You would adjust to that.
Yeah.
We're trying to get those type of flexibilities built.
Gain up or gain down type system based on. Yeah, you can make that automatic too.
Yeah.
So we did not. This is not in next year's research program.
Pretty inexpensive.
It's easy. I mean, it's easy to insert.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think our hope was that this should have been a pretty straightforward test, pretty well controlled, other than turbidity and the fish. but that we'd have an answer coming out of this year. But do you want a proposal for
that?
Well,
I think we should talk about is our. You know, we have a meeting scheduled next week to talk all about this.
Yep.
I mean, why don't we spend our time there talking about it? Because I'm really concerned about what we saw this year at Bonneville with sockeye. We've had high descaling, high mortality rates there in the last week or so. And looking at that issue, I spent some time on it, and to me, it points out a gatewell problem. Still there, and it's there for sockeye, and we've seen sockeye numbers. Just it's a different situation this year. Sockeye came out a little bit late. We saw large numbers of them, and they peaked about the same time that the breed did, which maybe is not a big surprise, but it's a little bit of a sockeye are typically a little later than the other species, so it's not way off. But and now when we're seeing 30% descaling rates on sockeye, and they're the descaling is of the type of descaling you see with encounters with screens. I mean, we're seeing that at John Day, and I don't think it's a Dalles problem.
We had it at McNary.
Yeah.
The spotlight, yeah, but John Day didn't show. It didn't show up at John Day, which was interesting.
Yeah, we had it. We got hit with all that wind for 2 weeks, and they pulled a couple truckloads of debris.
Of debris out.
Yeah, mostly tumbleweeds.
Those fish must
and
have
we
died.
Were seeing, yeah, we were seeing scratches. Scratches
into the mm-hmm.
That was from the tumbleweeds.
Yeah, that's bad. Yeah, that's a debris issue at McNary, and we know that's another problem we've been struggling with over the years. So, I think what we're seeing with sockeye is the problems we have with our bypass systems are showing up in a large percentage. I didn't see the McNary one, but John Day didn't show much of a problem. We had maybe 10% descaling at the peak and a 1.2% mortality rate. And you could take that times 3 to 10, depending on which mortality was 10% at Bonneville, and the scaling was 33-34%, I think, for sockeye.
But sockeye was even higher for mortality for 1 day.
I think it was around 10-11%.
Yes, 12.
12 maybe, in that range, and the scaling was in the 30% range, and that went on for several days, and then it's kind of faded off a bit now, but then the numbers have dropped too. And probably the debris level has probably dropped off a bit too because it's had time to start moving through. But
well, we've also been able to keep clean. They said they're clean up.
They've been trying to clean. Yeah, trying to keep up with it. But that's a lot of loss. That's a serious problem.
We'll speak to this issue when we meet.
Yeah, so
17th born the 17th.
That's what we want to talk about is that whole issue around what you're finding out the BGS, the effect on the game world. That's
interesting. Well, we think that it does. But Mike hit it on the head. That is, if we come back to you folks at the SET review, that's going to be a new item. We continue the research.
Yeah.
So if that's the case, then Dennis, I think we need to put some kind of a plan together that we can present to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We got last year's proposal.
Yep.
Cordy can send that to us again, change the dates.
I do more. I think about if you want to change some
of the treatments. We realized we had two light treatments, one, three if you count no lights. Kind of a broad look. Well, not far enough.
Sure.
I thought the 300 was pretty high compared to what we have ever put in those game wells.
Oh, and most of them are only getting maybe a lux at that.
Yeah.
Especially McNary. I don't know if they're
going to see the way Bonneville gets covered with scum, it's kind of hard to see.
mean, those lights basically just reflect back in the gallery there.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll get a lot of that light. Let's get a one pager together.
Yeah.
We'll put it in the
just
package.
Take last year's and stick it in there.
Okay.
But we're soliciting. We're getting proposals now because these guys don't have a lot of time now to send them in to us. So we'll jump right to that. Then we'll make a decision.
BGS, sorry.
Yeah, nope, you're right. Right on BGS.
BGS, we kind of spoke to that a little bit. The only thing I'll say about that is that we still have an O&M issue out there. I think the complaints from the project out there on somewhat in two cases, and I think the data can speak to that as well. One of the things that we're doing this year is we're putting together an action plan, if you will, that addresses, okay, what do we do if it's decided to remove the BGS? What if it's decided that we were going to update or upgrade the BGS? How do we handle the different scenarios that may be pending? So that's something that we're working on. Our tech lead's kind of pulling that together at this point. But like I said, when we get together to talk about B2FG, we'll also talk about the BGS as well.
So there is that still, it was kind of out of whack for a while there. Is it still out of whack?
Yeah, it's still, with full flow out of B2 right now, you go about 300 feet down the boom right now. You've got a section that's almost submerged, so it looks like you could have a root wad on it underneath the water. And then there's several sections that cockeye all the way down it right now. So with these heavy flows up against it right now, you're seeing some lines, you're seeing some cable change.
But the heavy flows are just unit operation.
It's just unit operation. And
full powerhouse.
The full powerhouse. We hadn't seen it straying like this last year. We did a full inspection, on it with Navy divers this year. Only found one cable. Everything else was intact. No major debris on it. Cleaned everything off.
It's debris related. It's all debris because it's got to be. There's no more flow going.
Yeah, if you go up there, the B24 bay is almost clean with debris. I mean, almost nothing there. So, it may be catching some debris, and this is part of the O&M issues associated with this design that we'll speak to on Thursday, too.
Okay.
But right now it is a little bit cockeyed. I sent a note out to Derek Faber that's doing the research there for us. The configuration of the wall, is that going to maybe affect research or how fish guide along that? We really think, it's still... If you go out there, the flow is still directed right towards unit 12, and it curls right into the corner collector. Mm-hmm. So you're not seeing some cockeyed flows coming off, but it's still directing the bulk of the flow over to that corner like it has in the past.
Maybe not as smooth as it could be.
But maybe it's not as smooth as it could be. But there's nothing that we can do right now to change this configuration. And, we'll be going out there in September.
I just can't see how there's any difference between this year and last year because the number of people, we didn't even maybe run out the units, I don't know. But we've run...
We had times last year we ran seven units and ran them hard.
Yeah.
And now I think some of it could be debris rated. Maybe we broke a cable somewhere. There's a couple things.
Find that after the season.
Yeah. Okay.
Gate hoist.
Okay. I think Ken briefed you guys during the up on what's going on this, but the upshot is this. Sometime in July we should be finished and completed with the plants and specs. And as funds are made available, given the priority of this, we'll move it out and see if we can get something fabricated and installed. Ideally, of course, we'd like to have this fabricated ASAP and install it in December, January timeframe.
Yeah.
But we're not sure of the funding. So based on that premise, the plan is to have it fabricated as soon as funding is available, but realistically, next FY. But if funds are made available now,
What is the funding issue, George? I mean, I'm not sure what the uncertainty is there. Is that because it was based on the stimulus dollars? Is that what it is?
I don't think that it was stimulus dollars.
Okay. What is it based on?
We didn't have funding for the study for the specs this year.
So initially. Okay, we did not.
So funding was made available somehow or another.
So it's kind of a program. If we have some leftover funds, then we can do it. Otherwise, it'd be a
right. But I understand it's a priority.
Yeah. after this last year, it's kind of elevated in priority with the corner collector operation process.
So my commitment to you folks is if you guys make funding available to go around the SUG process, we'll move it out quickly. Okay. I think it's pretty straightforward to install.
Yeah.
It should be pretty straightforward to
validate. Okay. Thank you.
Build that next OCT. Just make a keep on the go.
Yeah.
The turbine survival, Mike, can you help me with this? Basically, we've got our pressure studies.
So the tag versus untagged?
Yeah.
We're getting a report this year, final report that'll include, I think it'll include everything, tagged versus untagged.
This is like a accumulation report or a summary report.
Yearling subyearlings and the tag effects. They're also working to get the data to us, but they are putting metadata together for all of those data sets.
Good.
But the schedule for the final report is September, so a draft report should be coming out in must be late July.
So the summary is, it's a problem. We need to figure out how bad a problem it is with direct capture or something like that to get the final analysis.
Well, you guys are also aware of the direct capture. There's some concerns around that. We're still moving forward with that, but there's still some concerns around that.
Yeah.
We're going to work around those.
I wasn't at the meeting, but I heard there was some concerns expressed. So.
Yeah.
They did a risk analysis of, using the John Day CFD model, kind of worst case for pressure, worst case for acclimation depth, assuming all fish were acclimated at 30 feet, and then uniform distribution through the runner, and came up with a high end of about 10%, I believe, roughly 10% turbine survival bias.
Higher mortality.
Overall project, they estimated it could be up to a 3% bias, but I looked at the numbers, and it was worst case distribution as well. The thing is, I think, at least for our survival tests, that we've been going by the results we have. I don't feel it's a problem. We based on what we thought we could make based on dam passage survival results we had. And so if anything, the survival estimates we're getting are biased low, and we should be able to achieve better. But
it's not a problem unless you're 1% under. Everybody goes, well, you guys are looking at it and saying, $5 million, mm-hmm. we probably made it, but we can't prove it. So now it's another $5 million to try to get it.
Meanwhile, though, the tag is getting, it's an obvious tag burden effect. So fish size, tag size.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're continuing to miniaturize the tag, which is only improving.
That injectable tag is the holy grail.
That's the plan A.
Yeah.
But even a pit tag had a small effect.
It did, I know, but it wouldn't give you the 1%.
No.
Or 3% hit.
The 3% was, I think, pretty pessimistic. It's lower than that if you get the numbers.
George, in the SRWG, we rated some of the projects, TSP projects, pretty lowly this year, and that's mainly because of some issues associated with how representative we think the tests would be. So we need to have some discussions about that. TSP with the general, TSP has been mainly meeting with just the local, just the core group. We probably need a larger group meeting again to talk about those studies.
Well, let me ask this. I understand why it might rent door, but how are we going to deal with the fact that we've got a contract in place with the vendor to develop this design for the Rice Harbor? So we've got a contract. How do we do that?
Oh, for direct capture?
Both for direct capture, but also
because you're talking about the blade.
The rudder design.
Yeah, I don't think it,
that wasn't an issue, was it?
Well, some of the design criteria that goes into that, we're trying to develop things as we go along designing things. And so I see what you mean. Pressure related.
So I understand the criteria. I understand the needs to prioritize, but that's something that I would put back on and say, hey, maybe I might want to consider that.
Well, this was most of the TSP studies had to do with BIT, biological index testing for operations. I don't think that's going to affect the design of Ice Harbor.
the evaluation.
Right. Because that's, you know, that's mainly for existing operation, right. Existing runners, not the design of new, which we're trying to design away from those problems that we're concerned about, right. With the, you know, existing. So I'm not sure that the Unit 2 Ice Harbor really is affected by these issues that we're reluctant to, you know, that we're having trouble with.
Okay.
But the BIT certainly is. I mean, progressing down the road of improving the way we run the existing plants, I think, has kind of hit a rocky road.
Okay. How does that impact?
Let me be more specific on what I think the issue is, and it's the how we test, how we validate that. I don't think anyone's having a problem with the modeling approach or the pressure testing even,
right.
as far as effects. The problem is, how do you assess it in the field? Go out and implement it at a dam and test it. And the pre-season, pre-spill condition is not representative of what the condition, true condition would be, and that there's no predation, and that's where a lot of the, you know, mortality losses, even though it's a result of turbine passage, that's the mechanism for loss at a lot of our dams. So we're going to come up with a better method than that. And the external tag is not well received by, I think, most people.
It doesn't say it's another bias, another predator-related bias. So we need to come up with a better method, and that's just, you know, maybe it's going to take us longer because we need an injectable tag, or, you know, maybe we need a better technique that's not out there, and it may not be out there. But what I don't want to do is throw, you know, good money after bad.
So the TSP discussion that's needed in my mind is a focused study on how we do field tests to confirm improvements to turbines.
Exactly.
And I think we need to have in place some people with really good heads on study design. Maybe we bring a contractor in, Cliff Bjerre, John Skalski, I don't know who, someone that knows, you know, field study design well, and we have data to bring to bear that they can look at ahead of time to propose some methods to do this in the field. So we're talking realistic studies, because the other problem in my mind with the field study with active tags is sample size numbers. I mean, we looked at this at McNary, and nobody could afford it.
There's going to be some...
We've talked about this before, too.
We're going to have to really get real about it. I mean, that's the thing. You do it off-season, it doesn't work. You do it in-season, you potentially kill a bunch of fish. You know, we're going to have to really struggle with how we do that. Do we want to do it in-season, potentially kill some fish, but, you know, it is turbine passage. It's not the biggest route of passage at the dam. Maybe we can live with that. You know, maybe we can just run. Maybe, you know, kill me if you want, but you maybe a situation where you shut spill off for a period of time, run them through the powerhouse.
Yeah.
I mean, really short period of time.
I know some people that want to do that.
Yeah, I see that.
Yeah, Rick looks like he's ready to do that.
Look, but, you know, I mean, that's one of those things you sit down and talk to. You get everybody in the room, you lock the door, and you put padlocks on the outside and tell them.
And you give them a lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee and maybe some booze.
Another thing to consider is maybe you can't get perfect information on your, you know, if it's bit especially. But most of where we're going to come up with new operations are going to be inside the 1% we're doing now. And so you do your best to implement what you think is the best operation based on physical modeling and pressure testing, and then assess it over a period of years, like we proposed for John Day. And maybe that's as good as you can get or need for this problem.
Well, along those lines, to that point, I was going to suggest, how about it be, I know that we dismissed John Day for reasons, right?
Right.
How about if we revisit that again, given that predation, given we have AV wires out there that might mitigate the predation issue, we come back and revisit that again?
Well, I think everything should be on the table, and we just sit down and go through it systematically and decide once and for all, this is not going to work. But what I want to make sure is that it's not just... killed again, but not just a bunch of engineers sitting in a room somewhere thinking about this, but we have all the biologists and the regional players in there too, so that it's realistic when it comes out. Because those last 1 pages just weren't realistic. And it just isn't going to work. So we need to have everybody in the room, everybody thinking about it and willing to consider all the options. I mean, I'm not in favor of shutting spill off, but I mean, those are the sort of things I like to see on the table that either kill them once and for all.
Any idea when? Are we talking this summer, next fall?
If we want to resurrect any of those one pagers, it better be soon.
Yeah.
You know, to get proposals. So I would say in the next month or so. I mean, can we? Is that possible, Mike?
What do you think, Mike?
It is. I really would like to have the data analysis that we paid NOAA and USGS. You know, but we're not going to have that in time to solicit a new proposal. I really think having existing data from these active tag studies to be able to kind of ground truth what we think we can would really help us.
So you're talking about the results of this year's study?
No, they're looking at all the past years of study reanalyzing the data to look at potential trends in survival through the powerhouses, through different operations.
See, that's where I think ahead of time we can hand it off to Skalski and he could look in. We could say, what would it take to do future field studies with we deliberately designed something?
Yeah.
And then he could come back with a presentation.
It may take 5 years to get the study done, but we're going to be doing these studies in the next few years pretty consistently.
And that's an excellent point, right?
So can we look at that and make that a starting point for study design? Is that, I know it's too late almost for next year's solicitation, but we're going to miss a buy update. We won't, because we can still get John Day next year. Dennis could work with operations and see what we can do to implement best operating point at John Day and BPA and give it our best shot next
given
year.
Given our limitations, which are pretty
severe at John Day. Yeah.
You know that. So,
or we'd look at a wall-to-wall project and do it there.
Yeah.
We can do that somewhere still with our performance testing, I think. And then meanwhile, figure out a design.
So what are we deciding on this?
Let's look at the schedule. We'll have to talk to USGS and NIMS on when we're going to get this data analysis done. We'll have to talk with John and see. I think he's probably the right person to do it. Skalski, and see when he can get to looking at it. We'll have to have a scope of work and stuff for him. So it's late summer, early fall, I'm guessing.
That's kind of what I've done.
And that's... it's my action to delegate this to somebody, because I'm not going to have time to do it. You want to help with TSP, Dennis? He's going to stop coming to Federwig, too.
We can talk. It's an opportunity.
No, we got a whole TSP
team
to put to bear on this, so I'll make it my action.
Bread needs a new opportunity.
Done with WP.
Hey, where's Brad? We're on DC training?
No, he's on vacation.
Well deserved vacation.
This is John Day configuration, and we're through with TSP. I think most of you folks have been out there for all intents and purposes. The design, the execution's working the way we think that it was supposed to work. We do have some acoustic issues with some of the wires out there. We're going to take care of that. There are a couple of questions that are in play, assuming that things work the way we think that they're going to work. We will have to make some decisions in terms of what to do with the TSWs, given that the prototypes are made for permanent. So, the new design, we just have to paint them or what. There's also questions about optimization. There's that load factor that we installed, and we promised you folks that we would optimize it. That's currently going to work. So there's questions that need to be answered in terms of the long-term effect for this. So, well, some of that, I think, is going to be predicated on the outcome of the test that we're looking at later down the year. So again, it's something for us to think about. But for all intents and purposes, what we look to do out of John Day is pretty much, for the most part, working for us, of course, there's other teams and folks that are out on a regular basis looking at that for the year. Things work?
Yep.
Okay, you were going to ask something.
Yeah, George, the COP for John Day, is that?
That's being revised. We're
being revised?
We're looking to have that completed, I want to say it's by September.
Okay. I was just asked to provide the Portland District COPs for our AMIP review process. They want
those on the record. So they're on our
website. All on the website?
The Dalles draft. We have a draft on the one that was earlier this year. I don't know. That might be. That was on the website. If it's not,
we have comps for all three projects.
It's draft for the Dalles.
Draft for the Dalles. Okay.
If you can't get the Dalles, let me know. But the most recent John Day and Bonneville are.
They're out there. Okay.
The only thing I'll caution on using the existing John Day COP is it laid out what we're going to do, what we have done to date,
but it doesn't lay out what we're looking to do in the future. You should have that done by September, so if you want something straight away, we can work with you.
It's got to be right away, and it's something that we put into the, it goes on the record, you know, as part of that.
Well, again, the upshot is we'll have a revision by September.
Okay, it'll all blow over by then. We'll have won the lawsuit.
Dal's MWS, we're looking to put out a task order here in the next couple of weeks. And again, this is to take what alternatives we've already identified, pare them down, bring the economics up to date.
Yeah,
the old things will become there in the future. That's pretty much all I had.
The Dal's north and east, so you did the north and east adult ladder. Okay. The north ladder, Gary was telling me, he's been watching the counts. You guys probably talked about this at FPOM, but
yeah.
It looks like we made an improvement, man.
Yeah.
That wall improves adult passage.
You get a gold star on that one.
Uh-oh.
So far.
Do you think it's the wall?
It has to be. I've got 4 years of data. I've been, you know, every year I watch this and I do the comparisons. I look at the north versus east percentage. And then I compare that to the daytime spill volume. And these conditions we're seeing right now with the 100K spill in the past, our Chinook passage, I'm only looking at adult Chinook, has been in the 5% to 10% range. And this year we're seeing 20 to 40% with an average of, 39%. So.
So
the 30% average is over the whole season so far, but just in the last week, it's still been 20 to 40%.
What is it about the wall that's making this difference, do you think?
Deeper water, more bays.
Yeah, 8 bays instead of 6.
So spread things out, there's steps. But you had a traction flow over there.
I was talking to the North Wasco guys the other day, and they, you know, they're there. That's where their plant is. They look down there all the time. They say this year they're seeing a lead along the shoreline they've never seen before of water that, you know, looks passable for salmon. I couldn't see it from the bridge, but being on the project, apparently, if you get there and look over the edge, you can see it.
We still have the ability to shift that even more, don't we? Put more flow towards the wall.
Yeah, because of the walls, we've got some ability to shift more. There. But what this percentage is in line with John Day, it's in line with McNary, it's in line with other dams, these kind of spill levels. So I'm thinking that it's
maybe okay.
It's pretty much what you would expect.
Okay.
And if we had a problem with the east shore, you might do something like that. Mm-hmm. But for right now, I think
I don't see a problem. So I think we've, you know, it's good.
Good.
Well, not very often that we can say that. Considering we're normally at the 10% to not quite 20% in the past 5 years.
The last item that I wanted to speak to very briefly is not on your agenda, but I think that there's a concern of interest. John Day, as you know, we've got three turbines that provide attraction water. Provide power to pumps that provide attraction water for migration. As you guys know, we've got one of those units down. We just awarded here a couple of contracts here, a second contract yesterday, so we're looking to have that unit three, completely rehabbed this time next year. So there's progress. Good progress in that.
Good. And all three will be in tip-top shape.
Well, we're looking at rehab all three units over the next 5 years.
Oh, okay. I thought we'd already worked on. Okay.
1 year. So.
Gearboxes, I guess it was.
Gearboxes, the turbines, and the pumps as well.
Okay.
We have a utility.
We've been working on those for a while, right?
The project just got partway through one.
Oh, okay.
The number three. Okay.
So that's a good thing.
Yep.
Are there any questions?
Thank you, George. Next bitter wig meeting? I can't remember when the regularly scheduled ones were since we've fallen off it, but isn't it the last Thursday of the month or the second? Last Thursday? So it'll be August 26th?
29th? Oh, August?
August 26th?
That's what I was waiting. There's a wall of fitter wig scheduled for that date.
How can they do that to me?
I got to call those guys. That's what happened last time. Did they take these dates over?
I was just looking at my clock. We've done Federwing in 2 hours. It takes us a day and a half to do wall off.
Yeah, well, we didn't have anybody show up. No, there were any engineers here.
So they were talking about maybe...
Plus, still, we could do them and still get it done in a half a day.
I know.
Yeah. Well, the week before, they were going to try and slide it in at the end of that.
Slide what? Federwing again?
Federwing.
When was proposal review again? That's the 19th?
16th through the
19th. Okay, so then we could do ours the 26th if they do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
What was that again? 16th.
They were going to try and slide the wall-to-wall of Federwing into the same week as the proposal.
So it's not like
that conversation.
They didn't know if it would get done. I don't know if anybody was actually assigned to do it.
We'll have to move the SCT meeting if they do that.
Because that's the 19th?
Yeah.
Well, Bill must have
been He was.
He was open to it.
So do I switch months? I mean, are they every other month, too, and they do it 2 days?
Quarterly.
How can they be quarterly? The last one was I was on top of.
May and August.
Okay. So they're every 3 months.
Well, you could be an agenda item in there.
Boy, I guess. Do we cover our stuff adequately, or what's?
So I think you're hiding a lot of stuff from us.
It sounds like that's what Palm is covering.
We do have a lot more discussion, maybe because we have more different in our views. Yeah. We do.
I think you guys talk more because you're up there and you have to go back to your hotel room.
So I got to get a date. If it's not, do I call up there and ask them when their Federwing is, or do we just schedule a different date?
They said they had it set for the 25th, but they move it to the week before.
They always schedule it for Wednesday.
So do I do August 10th? Like this? What's this one? What are we on? Oh, we're on a Thursday still. Is the 12th available?
So who's doing Federwing?
The second Thursday is always
technically Marvin, but
it switches weekly.
It seems more Tim Wicks.
How about either the 5th or September 2nd?
Yeah, those work for me.
September 2nd?
Yeah.
Or the 5th?
Thursday?
Yeah.
August?
Right before a holiday weekend?
Is it?
August 5th. What about August 5th?
How about August 5th?
I was just thinking August 5th, it's like, that's not that long from now. What's going to change me now?
Yeah, it's only 2 months. Month and a half.
What's wrong with the Thursday before a holiday? What's wrong with the 2nd?
Some people might be taking off early.
August 5th. Let's do August 5th, and I'll see if I can get the 26th, but write down August 5th for now.
If they switch to the week before.
Then we'll do the 25th.
Well, 26th.
Yes, at the district. It's hard to follow another meeting, and it's hard to do it off-site.
We might have some updates on their progress.
Talk to Dallas Celts again.
Then if you can get me on that FPOM schedule and block out every other month that those days so they stop doing that to me, that would help.
Well, the fallbacks are just enabling them. That's the
Yeah. And the low numbers of turbine blasts during the winter months.
Well, I have one more question since we're all here, and that is, you know, a few years ago, Doug Clark asked me, hey, can't we just combine FPOM and Federwing?
Yeah.
It kind of sounds like we're dealing with all the Federwing's coordination in FPOM, and a third of the agenda items were already covered today. All right.
I think FPOM is way too short as it is right now. That meeting should be all day.
That was the answer before. It was joint district. Well, then it could be shorter if we don't cover Federwing stuff by months ago.
No, we don't get it.
No, there's only we only cover like two items. So, I mean, the ABN wires. I'll just give you guys work for who's doing what.
Yeah.
And then what else? I mean, Lamprey coordination was like, hey, this is what I didn't want to work extension period for Lamprey thing. That was a big deal.
No. Okay. The problem is going to be, I mean, we're working on the fish passage plan. That takes a lot of time. I think we're skimming over stuff too quick now. These joint meetings, I don't like them.
All right, I'm just checking
in. Okay.
Yeah, we kind of blew through it too. We kind of blew off some stuff.
I haven't had time to even check my phone messages this week.
Man, Tanaka's back from Ireland. Yeah. I see, I guess. That red air.